Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our morning worship service. Happy Palm Sunday to you all. Let's begin by turning to hymn number 299 in our call to worship, In the Name of the Lord, hymn number 2. For prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for this hour together, that we can gather in the name of Jesus and glorify him, glorify your name, sing your praises, think on you, think on your word and what will be shared with us in just a few minutes. Pray for your blessing on Pastor as he brings the message. Fill him with your spirit and use him to help us understand your word more clearly and to let your spirit move and work in our hearts to accomplish his purposes. Father, we thank you for the salvation that Jesus purchased for us back on Good Friday, those many years ago, long ago, and yet that one sacrifice, as we said in Sunday school, for all time, to pay for the penalty for the sins of all who believe in Jesus. And Father, we thank you that as believers in him today, we have eternal life, we are born again by your Spirit, and we are here today in your calling to be gathered and to encourage one another in our faith, and we pray that that will happen in this hour. Thank you for each person who's here. We pray that you would bless each believer, and if there's anyone here who does not yet know Jesus, that they would put their faith and trust in him this morning as they hear the gospel presented. We commit this hour to you and give you thanks and praise for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may
the accounts about Jesus moving into Jerusalem on that day, Palm Sunday. This is in Luke. Luke chapter 19 and verse 28 through 48. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you, that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, excuse me, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your precious word as we think once again, looking back at the life of the Lord Jesus and all that he did when he was here upon the earth. And here he is going into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, announcing the fact that he is the long-awaited Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And Lord, we worship you today. We thank you. We know that, as it turned out, the people rejected him. But he is coming again, and he will rule and reign from Jerusalem in power and great glory. So we rejoice in that, our Father, and pray that you'll help us, that we might spread the good news of the gospel to those around and about, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. Lord, we thank you for each one who is here today. We pray your blessings upon us, encourage us and strengthen us and help us that we might walk in fellowship with you and do your will. If there's anyone here who has never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, we pray that this may be the day, Lord, that they would just surrender to you and say, yes, Lord. Yes, I do want to be saved. Yes, you died for me. I want you to save me. May that be so. Lead, guide, and help us, our Father, in all that we do. We just ask you to give us wisdom and understanding in all of the decisions that we need to make as a church, and especially regarding this insurance and other things like that and the missionary work. We thank you, Lord, for those who are serving you so faithfully. We think of the Kellers, and even now that they're not able to be in Ukraine, they are still busy serving you, reaching out to unsaved people and seeing some of them respond. Lord, may your holy will be done. We pray, guide and help us that we might seek to be a witness to those around us. May Jesus, our Savior, be glorified through it all. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's turn once again to Luke chapter 19. You know, the entire life of Jesus of Nazareth led up to this final week. We call it a Holy Week because it is of great significance to us, thinking of all that transpired during that time. This Palm Sunday commemorates the day the Messiah of Israel revealed himself to his people. He did so by fulfilling the prophecy found in Zechariah 9 and verse 9. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Anyone familiar with this verse would certainly realize that Jesus was claiming to be the King of the Jews. It's interesting to note that in the very next verse, it speaks there his victory and dominion over the earth. It says, "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, the house from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth." So, no wonder the people expected him to overthrow their enemies and to establish his kingdom. This seemed to be what most people were expecting, and that's what the prophecy seems to be saying. But this was not the case, of course, at this particular time. The day is coming when he will rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have that in other portions throughout the New Testament about the second coming of our Lord Jesus. First to take his church out of the world, and then 7 years later to come back and rule and reign as king in Jerusalem. But that was not his purpose on that Sunday, when he rode into Jerusalem on this young donkey. He knew exactly what awaited him. Had repeatedly told his disciples, for example, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. Matthew 16:21 says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day." Jesus had told his disciples over and over again, and they wondered, what is he talking about? They didn't understand, did they? And yet, he made it very clear that this is what was going to happen. All four of the Gospels describe what happened on Palm Sunday and that week that followed, all of the events. It's all in different styles and everything as they wrote it in the Gospels, and yet it's all there for us to see. In fact, more space is given to this week than to all the rest of Christ's life. This was the most important part of his life. This is the reason he came, that he might die for our sins, to forgive us of all of our sins, and then to come forth from the grave victoriously, showing that Christ was indeed who he said he was. So in that portion of scripture that we're looking at here today, we see preparing, first of all, for his entrance into the city. Here he comes, ascending up to Jerusalem. You know, they tell us you always go up to Jerusalem. You never go down. Jerusalem's up there, and you always go up. And here he is, ascending up to Jerusalem. And they got near these two little towns, a few miles outside of Jerusalem, Bethphage and Bethany. And he told with his disciples, he says, "I need for you to go over into the village there and find a colt that's tied." Matthew tells us that there were actually two. The mother and the colt there tied. And he says, "Go and bring him to me." Now, I've always wondered, you might say to me, I can understand this portion where he's riding the colt. In Matthew, it talks about the two animals. Which one is he riding on? What do you think? I guess it's the colt, right? The mother's probably going along and the colt's following by. But this was an animal that had never been ridden before, and yet they prepared him, and Jesus got on without any trouble. He's the master, right? He doesn't have to worry about the animal reacting in any way because he has him tamed. And in John chapter 12, it tells us this was right before the Passover time. So it's a very important time, and Jerusalem is active with so many people there from all over the world, all the Jewish people coming together to worship. In John chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead when he raised him from the dead." Okay, so that's 6 days. And then over in verse 12, it says, "On the next day, Much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was come to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. There it is. It was the colt. He was riding on the colt. Okay. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. So here we are, 5 days before the Passover. And Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, triumphantly riding on a donkey. Huh? Does that sound triumphantly to you? You know, every time my Bible says here, the triumphal entry. Yeah, it could have been if they had received him, but of course, it turned out that they did not. We know that there was Passover time. Jerusalem was crowded with people from all over the world. And here, Jesus comes in riding on this donkey. Not on a white charger, like someone who's going to overthrow everything and be the king, but rather on a humble animal, the lowly donkey. And here he comes, showing himself in fulfillment to the Old Testament scriptures. I said, we read it a while ago. Rejoice, because your king is coming, riding on a donkey, on a foal of an ass, it says in the King James Version. But anyway, they had come to celebrate their deliverance from death. The night the angel of death went over, the Passover. Here these people all gathered together thinking of that. And here comes Jesus riding in on the donkey. And they begin to worship. They think, hey, this is it. We're going to have victory. We're going to overthrow the Romans. We're going to, you know, everything's going to turn out great. And so here they are rejoicing in all of that. The colt that Jesus chose, it says here, these two men, he sent two of his men, two of the disciples. I don't know which ones. Anybody know what disciples went to get the donkey? No, I don't know either. Anyway, two of them, Jesus sent them, and they went, and they did exactly what he said. They loosed the colt. They said, hey, what are you doing? Loosing the colt. That's my colt. What are you doing? And he said, the Lord has need of him. Right? And they let him go. Now, I don't know if Jesus had already made arrangements ahead of time, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe he did. But at any rate, they understood who he was. And they said, okay. So they put the garments down on the ground and rode in a procession, rejoicing, thinking, hey, this is going to be great. And as they went, they spread their clothes in the way. And he comes on down the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. You know, they knew who Jesus was. He had already been preaching and teaching for 3 years, right? He had been opening the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf and all these marvelous things that they did. And now here he comes, proclaiming himself to be the Messiah. And yet, notice what it says. In fulfillment, again, it quotes another scripture verse here in verse 38. Psalm 118, verse 26, it says, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So this is speaking of another prophecy about Jesus coming as the king of Israel, as the long-awaited Messiah. So anyway, we find this excited crowd and all that's going on there, the palm branches that they spread in the way, their clothes, and are rejoicing. And of course, the Pharisees said, wait a minute, oh, tell them to be quiet. Huh? The Romans might hear about this. What do you think? Hey, we don't want to cause any problems here. And so they tell him. And there's no reason to get all excited. Make them stop. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said that if they would be quiet, that the stones themselves would cry out. Huh? This was his moment. You know? A moment of exaltation when he was to be worshipped and adored for who he was. This was his moment to be praised, and nothing could prevent it from happening. You know, the Lord is wonderful, isn't he? Think of that. Amen. You know, if he decides something, then forget it. You're not going to change it at all. This is the way it is. And here, this was the moment when Jesus was exalted. But then, at the same time, notice this. Verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Can you see the contrast here? These people rejoicing and thinking, hey, we have the king is here. We're going to win the victory. And all that. And what does Jesus do? He's crying. He's weeping and wailing over what is going on around him. And he says to Jerusalem, to the people there, if you had only known what is going on here, at least in this your day, the things which belong to your peace. You don't understand, he says, you know. You're thinking one thing, and reality is something altogether different. This is not the time for victory, for winning. It's a time of sorrow. For the days shall come upon thee, when thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side. What's he talking about? He's talking about destruction, isn't he? Warfare and the destruction of the city. Well, when did that happen? Just a few years later, right? 70 AD, the Roman army went in and flattened Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and sent all the people in different areas. And many of them were killed. Many of them were scattered. And all of this happened at that time. And he knew that this was going to take place. And why was that? It was because they did not receive him as their Savior. They wanted the conquering king to overthrow their enemies. But that's not the reason that he came. He came to save us from our sins. And here we find he says, and they shall lay thee even with the ground, thy children within thee. They shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Why? Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Jesus came, didn't he? The Son of the living God, and they didn't know who he was. They didn't realize what he was doing. The visitation. Jesus came. And so they were not ready to receive him. They didn't understand. And then it comes on down, verse 45, we find that Jesus is angry. He's angry. He went into the temple, and he began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought. How about that? You know, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, right? No, no, not this time. Here he is taking control. He says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Here he is in control. And saying unto them, notice what he said. It is written, my house is the house of prayer. You see? That's what the temple was for. It was a place of prayer, of worship, of serving God. And you have made it a den of thieves. When people came to worship, the people that had all of the animals there for sacrifice and the other paraphernalia that they had, they were charging them exorbitant prices and were not concerned about worshiping God, but rather making all that they could make, right, for themselves, and not giving the glory to the Lord. The merchants were cheating those who came to offer sacrifices, and they were not reverencing God, but enriching themselves. So here Jesus says, no, this is not going to work. You can't do this. You are desecrating the house of the Lord. And so he says here, they were not reverencing God. We ask ourselves, as followers of Christ, what do we get angry about? You know, think about that. Jesus got angry because they were not reverencing God. They were not serving him. They were desecrating his house. What do we get angry about? Because somebody cuts us off in traffic? Yeah, huh? Something like that? Or someone says something we don't care about? We get angry at that. But no, we should respect the Lord and his word. And there are things to be angry about. You know? Every time I think of our nation and all that we're going through, some of the laws that are coming out and the ideas that people have, there's a lot to be angry about. I won't go into all that right now, but anyway. Jesus spent his last week here teaching daily in the temple. Notice, he went on with the work. He taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. They didn't appreciate his ministry. Here he is, continuing on healing. They could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. You see that? These were the Jewish leaders. They were the ones that were supposed to be leading the people for God, and yet they are contrary to all that the Lord stands for. The people are there to listen, and yet they would not allow them to do it. They wanted to arrest him and to kill him. So, as God's people today, we have good reason to rejoice, you know. And as I read in the letter from Vitaly Keller this morning, he's talking about here in the United States, we are so blessed, right? Nobody's bothering us, are we? Here we are in this church this morning enjoying the warmth of the building and everything and just listening to the Word of God. It's wonderful. But some places they're in really, really in difficulties. Places where they're being persecuted and killed simply for naming the name of Christ. Can you imagine that? So many in some of these places where another religion may be the predominant one, they don't allow the freedom that we have here in the United States. And we need to pray that it will stay that way, that we don't turn away from that idea. So they only wanted a conquering hero. They didn't want the Savior. And so they he had to turn away from their way of thinking. He came to die for us, didn't he? You know, it's hard to understand. You would think, well, it would be good if Jesus would come back, right? We don't have to suffer. We don't have to have any problems. Here he comes. Oh, yes. Come, Lord Jesus. Come on.
Amen.
Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it? It would be. But that's not his purpose right now. He says for us, we have to continue on until he comes. Until he comes. And we just have to rejoice in his presence. Like Jesus, we should weep over the what's going on around us, over the lost. Seek to reach them with God's word before it's too late. As Christians, we should reverence the things of God. Stand for righteousness in the midst of an ungodly world. You know, it seems like it's getting worse. Maybe it's because I'm old. You know, it could be. But it seems to me like it's getting worse and worse and worse. And doesn't the Bible say that in the last days, perilous times are coming? And we need to be faithful until the end. There's the words of an old hymn by Osdick Watts. You probably know it. Still very appropriate for us today. It says, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to seize the prize and sail through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace, to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Father, we thank you this morning for your precious word to our hearts. And on this Palm Sunday, we rejoice in our Lord Jesus and know that he is King no matter what. And we thank you that he went to the cross and died for us, that we might have everlasting life. And I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to walk in fellowship with you and do your will day by day. Speak to every heart. If there's anyone who's never trusted Jesus, we pray that this would be the day of salvation. We pray in his precious name. Amen.